Welcome to CattleCast with Capital Area District Library's Executive Director, Scott Dymstra.
Welcome back to CattleCast. The Lansing School District is the largest district within the Ingham Intermediate School District. They've also hired a new superintendent in early 2021. We are thrilled to be joined by the Lansing School District's new superintendent, Benjamin Schuldiner. Ben, thank you so much for joining us today on CattleCast.
Thank you so much, Scott, and it's a pleasure to be here.
Could you tell us, I know there's been a lot written about you already, but could you just tell our listeners a little bit about your background and actually what attracted you to the Lansing School District position?
Sure. So first of all, thank you so much for having me on, and I can't wait to talk about education and ways that we could probably work together with the library
system.
Love
it. Oh, yeah, I love it.
Really important. So my background is I was a high school principal for a decade, and then I was a professor where I ran the program that trained principals and superintendents at Hunter College, which is the kind of education university, public university in New York. So I've really immersed myself in education my entire life, ever really since high school, doing tutoring programs, and in college where I did a work at a graduate school of education while I was an undergraduate to get my teaching license. So I care really, really deeply about education. And, you know, what attracted me to Lansing is that the school district is incredible. I mean, it really is this wonderful place that has so many different programs and projects that people just don't necessarily know about. I mean, we have a Montessori elementary school. We have an IB high school. We even have an equine therapy program. You know, a district of this size, 10,000 kids, 25 schools, doesn't really have that kind of just programming. And so that was wonderful. But there's so much more. The idea that this community really cares about education. We know that because they passed this huge $100 million bond. That really says to me, hey, Lansing is ready. They want to rock and roll. They want to make sure that their education is the best. Also, the school board. The school board is high functioning, very smart. They care deeply about the district. I mean, you know, insider baseball, there are districts around the country where the board won't even agree to the minutes because they hate each other so much.
Wow.
Right. And so, you know, when I was looking at superintendent's jobs, you say, wow, you know, Lansing's got this high functioning board. They've got a community that cares deeply. And then it has a faculty and a staff that also, I mean, they are part of the community. They live in the community. You know, this is very much a place where people stay generation after generation. And it's really attractive to me. Then you look at places like Michigan State and Lansing Community College. I mean, Michigan State really does have the best education school in the country. It's been rated such. To be able to be, you know, next door to that entity allows us to do some really creative pipeline programs and things like that. Lansing Community College, you know, 20 something thousand kids. You know, there's so much work that we can do kind of synergetically between a district like Lansing and, schools. So there's just so many things. And the other thing too about the size is 10,000 kids is, a large district for Ingham County, but it's small enough that I know every principal, that I know every, administrator, that I know students, that I know schools. You know, that for me is really attractive. I want to be in a place where I can feel I'm really part of a community. And so there's a thousand other reasons why, but, I'm sure you've got more questions.
Well, I love it. I mean, I love your energy. I love your passion. It truly shows in the answers that you give and kind of related to some of the stuff that you talked about. Being new to the area, there's a lot of pressure as well because Lansing School District is a large school district for our area. How do you get to know the schools, know the staff, and know the community?
Sure. I mean, the easy but real answer is go be in the community, go visit the schools, go talk to people. I like to walk a lot. So, I'm actually going to be living in the baseball stadium. So I'll be living downtown, which I'm like super thrilled about. And, you know, I'm going to walk to work every day. And, you know, you want to talk to the community. You want to stop off in local coffee shops and talk to folks. But really, the majority of my time needs to be spent in schools, where not only am I going to meet with the principals, but I'm going to be in classrooms. I'm going to talk to kids, and not in a kind of punitive measure, but in a way where I can be in places to support. And same with the other administrative teams that, you know, work at central office. We need to think of ourselves as a group of people that are there to support the educators who are supporting the students, not as some sort of, you know, punitive measure where we're coming in on high to blame people for whatever we think they're not doing right.
And Lansing School District, as I said earlier, not only serves the students, but it also serves the surrounding community. I mean, we see it as a strong partner at the library, and you always have a presence in the community. What are some things that you would like to accomplish in that first year, aside from getting to know the community, getting to know the students, and getting to know the staff?
So, you know, for me, and we've talked about this internally quite a lot, is, you know, when you come into a district, you have to be thoughtful enough and humble enough to know that your job is to listen, it's to learn, it's to be part of a community that already has wonderful talent and wonderful ideas. But also, you come in with, you know, kind of a large vision. And, you know, we've been talking about this a lot of internally, so it's not just my ideas, but the two big ones we're going to be thinking about is raising the graduation rate. Right now, Lansing is, you know, below the state average. My hope is that we get to not just the state average, but to 90% graduation over the next few years. That's really a huge lift, but it's the right thing to do, because our job is to support our students to graduate, as well as to learn and be productive members of society. And the second one that I really want to focus on, and that we want to focus on, is increasing the enrollment. You know, years ago, Lansing had 30,000 students, 40,000 students. Now we're around 10,000. And that is indicative of not telling the story of Lansing. There's so many wonderful things going on, but for whatever reason, families are voting with their feet and they're going to other districts. And it's really our job, both for the taxpayer, as well as the best thing for the district, is to get more students to come and to recognize just how great the district is. And so those two kind of pillars of raising graduation rate, which means that the kids who've gone through K through 12 are succeeding, right? They've graduated. Not that that's the only metric, but it's a good metric. And then to say, wow, instead of having only 10,000 students, we now have 12,500, meaning the community is saying, yes, we want to send our children there. So those are the things that we're going to be focusing on. But then all sorts of other stuff too, you know, strengthening our pre-K programs so that we can get to students even earlier. We're going to be wanting to work certainly with the community, the Boys and Girls Club and stuff like that, that are huge partners, and how we can just leverage all of these things for the betterment of our students.
You heard that, listeners. I mean, I expected some type of answer for a first year plan. That is wonderful, Ben. I mean, that is just wonderful to hear. And I know students, it's been a very difficult year, 2 years now with the COVID pandemic and struggle for schools and for students. So beyond reopening plans, what do you see as the road ahead to help students whose academic path was disrupted by the pandemic?
Yeah, I mean, who knows, man? I mean, like, you know, the issue with COVID is not just the academic loss, but it's also the social loss. You know, Lansing hasn't opened up, right? And so we're going to hopefully open up in the fall. And you're talking about 10,000 students and thousands of staff members going back into buildings that they haven't been in, back into interacting with each other in ways that they haven't interacted. So, you know, the thoughtful thing that the district needs to understand is, how do we support everybody academically, but also socially and emotionally? You know, this is going to be a big change. Now, I think a lot of people want to get back and they miss their friends and they miss folks, but it's also going to be weird for our bodies. It's going to be weird for our souls. You know, what does this mean to now go back into a group of where there's 1,000 people running around? We've been in homes with maybe 4 people. And we just have to be very thoughtful and cognizant of, you know, how this affects our social dynamic, our environmental dynamic, and our emotional dynamic. So, you know, I just look forward to really thinking about how do we make sure that we make up for time lost, but also support the students. But one thing that I'll be really, I think is very important is that a lot of times when you come out of crises like COVID or just are dealing with students that are at risk, we have a tendency to think in what's called the deficit thinking model. Oh my God, you know, it's problematic and we've got to, you know, you're always thinking in the negative. What we have to do is think much more in the positive. What are the strengths that our students are bringing to the table? You know, so rather than only focus on things like remediation after something like COVID, we need to be thinking about acceleration. We need to be thinking about special projects because what we know, research and experience, students rise to the level of expectation. And if we're expecting kids to come in and having lost all this stuff and not wanting to work and we dumb down things, that's where they're going to be. But if we expect students to be just champing at the bit where they want to be working, they want to do this work, we can raise that level of expectation. And I know that the students and the faculty will meet it.
I love that. I mean, that's a great answer, Ben. And something that at Capital Area District Libraries, we've always seen the Lanton School District as a strong community partner at elementary school level, middle school, and high school level. And we have some great working relationships with your teachers, with your principals, and want to continue that with the superintendent as well, too. And sure. So how do you envision the Lanton School District and the Capital Area District Libraries being able to work together towards the goal of helping students succeed?
Sure. So, I mean, I think there's so many ways that a school district and a library system can work together. The first one is the concept of place. You know, so many of our students will want to continue learning after the school bell rings. And, you know, certainly it's my hope that our buildings, that our school buildings are open for our students. But, you know, it's okay that they might not want to spend their entire life in a school building. So to make sure that the libraries are accessible to our students, that they're comfortable, that they feel welcomed and invited, those are the kinds of things that we can do. And even if it is just to get on a computer and, you know, look at Instagram, like that's okay. Exactly. You know, just knowing that there's a safe and warm and supportive place that is filled with knowledge that they feel comfortable in is really the first step. Then I think we could talk about all sorts of programs, you know, reading programs, early reading programs, family programs. You know, the more that families read to children, the better. So can we, you know, think about how we work with our pre-K program, our kindergarten program? I mean, you know, the sky's the limit because libraries, you know, historically have been there for the community to come and as a place. And that's something that's really important, especially kind of coming out of COVID. People are going to want places to connect to that they feel like they're welcomed. You know, we've lost that because of COVID. So, you know, again, I think there's tons of different programs that we can do. And then there's the kind of flip, which is the libraries in the schools, right? How can your expertise, your folks spend time in schools, look at the libraries we have and bring the libraries to the kids? There's a lot of ways that we can really work together to be creative and thoughtful in terms of supporting our students.
Sure. And as you said, I mean, we kind of go through our own reopening that's kind of getting comfort levels back up for people as well, too. And probably one of the biggest things that, as you mentioned, is just people being able, feeling comfortable in your space. And that's probably the first step. And we don't care how you use that space. It's just kind of getting comfortable and in your back into your comfort zone of actually coming through our doors as well, too. So I love that. And we always like to end with a library type question. And so it can be professional reading. It can be reading just general interest, but or something you're watching or listening to. But could you recommend a title that you're reading, watching, or listening to?
Sure. Well, thanks for the question. First, I would say that's not a library question. That's the question that all folks should be able to
exactly
answer, want to answer. So since I'm allowed to say watching, I will say that before the school year, I usually watch a movie called Ikiru, which is an Akira Kurosawa film, which is about a public servant. And he works as a bureaucrat in, you know, this ridiculous Japanese town where, you know, nothing happens. And he decides that he really wants to just build a park. And, you know, the community comes to him, these women come to him and they say, you know, look, we'd really like you to help build a park. And it's just his struggle of going through the bureaucracy to just finally get a park to be built. And it's just such this like wonderful movie about how we kind of enlarge systems, how we fight and how we help communities and how the voice of the community is certainly important. It's more than that. It's a Kurosawa film. So there's like a lot there.
Sure.
But I urge anybody who works in a system to watch it. It's just so powerful as to what we can do with a vision, with a mission, with a community support, but then also how we as humans interact with these stories. So, you know, there's a ton of things that I read, of course. I mean, I haven't had time to read a full novel in a while, but certainly, you know, reading the newspaper every day is helpful. I certainly urge everybody to do that. And then, you know, listening, if I'm lucky, I get to listen to a little music to relax at the end of the day. But I'm looking forward to the week before I start watching Akira and understanding the power of bureaucracy and the power of, you know, really caring about a community, listening to a community and making something special happen.
I love it. It's a great recommendation and a great film as well, too. So, Ben, thank you so much for joining us today on Cattlecast.
Sure. My pleasure.
I think we really got a glimpse into your, not only just why you came, but your personality as well, too. I mean, I love it. Your passion shows, your personality shows, and I am so excited for the Lansing School District on what's going to happen going forward.
Thank you, Scott. And I look forward to working with you in the future.
That was Lansing School District's new superintendent, Benjamin Schuldiner.
Don't miss another great interview. Subscribe to the Cattlecast podcast and share it with a friend.
Explore a menagerie of stories with Capital Area District Library's Tales and Tales Summer Reading Challenge. Cattle is wagging their tails for you this summer. Read and do fun activities in this animal-themed challenge, earning prizes as you go. Sign up now by creating an account at cadl.org/summer. You'll even be automatically entered to win tickets to Jurassic Quest Drive-Thru Experience. Sponsored by Michigan State University Federal Credit Union, CATA, and 99.1 WFMK.
Hey, it's Dee Dee in the Morning with Dee Dee's weekly download from Capital Area District Libraries. This week's title is Black Bottom Saints by Alice Randall. Before Motown, there was the Black Bottom neighborhood in Detroit, a center for American Black culture. Randall introduces the reader to a who's who of notable residents and visitors. To download or stream this or other featured titles, visit cadl.org/Dee Dee.
Stacks 92.1.